Thank you. Good morning. Good to be with you and see, like, real church. It's three-dimensional. We've been doing Zoom meetings for about 3 months now at our church, and this is much more real, much more enjoyable. It's been a couple years since we've been here. Pastor David's had us here since we got to Albuquerque in 2015. We've been here, I think, three times, maybe. So really appreciate the opportunity to come and just share what God's doing in missions, Ethnos 360. I'm about used to that name as well. We changed our name in 2017, so it's been about 3 years that we've been using that name. But every once in a while, I still talk about New Tribes. It's just too easy. And then Shirley and I, we served at New Tribes Bible Institute for 19 years up in Michigan before coming here. And so it was never Ethnos 360 Bible Institute when we were up there. It's just NTBI. That's what we know it as. And so, but sinking in. It's finally sinking in. And so I thought if I could just take you through a little bit of a PowerPoint presentation this morning during Sunday school, give you an update as to what God's doing. Some pretty exciting things. But then the things that God does, are they ever not exciting? I mean, he's around the world. His spirit is around the world regenerating people. Like, you know what I mean? He's making people alive who hear the gospel, trust Christ, and are born again. And their eyes are open to now, if I can say it this way, and I'll talk, and you'll hear this morning a couple times. Their eyes are open to reality. It's the invisible reality. The world as God sees it. The universe as God sees it, not just as people see it. We only see the material until the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, the psalmist says in Psalm 119. It opens our eyes to reality. And I love the connection between reality and truth. So, anyway, let me just walk you through some of the things in the PowerPoint. Who is Ethnos 360? Just to kind of give you a reminder of that, if you're not familiar. We're an international group. We have about 3,000 believers working around the world and trusting God to use them in the task of completing the Great Commission, getting the gospel to language groups that don't have the Bible. We were founded in 1942 as New Tribes Mission. And then since that time, since 1942, here's what's happened. We have 27 countries that actually now work with us to send missionaries to work with unreached people groups. I'll use that term, unreached people groups, if you don't mind. And basically what I'm referring to is people without the Bible. I think I might even have a slide on this. But they live in the jungles of the jungles of the world, where it could take you 3 or 4 days to hike, carry in a 40, 50-pound backpack. There's no trails. That's how remote these people are. They don't have much contact with the outside world at all. So we're working in 35 countries. We've worked with 347 people groups over the years, all different languages. They're not connected. They wouldn't be able to communicate with each other. Planted about 1,200 churches with 82,000 believers. 90 New Testaments have been completed, and there's 117 or so in progress today. We have 750 in our training programs all around the world. We have this is not something you can just like drop everything today, go to New Guinea, and start working tomorrow. It requires a lot of training, good solid training from people who've actually been doing it for years. Like, how do you learn a language? How do you start to write down sounds that you've never heard before in a way that you can repeat it and develop a written alphabet and then a written language and then translate the Bible into that? It takes a lot of training, as you might imagine. We exist to, this is our official statement, to assist churches in sending missionaries to unreached people groups, to plant biblical churches, disciple believers, and translate the Bible into the heart language of the people. That's why we exist. We don't do it outside of the realm of the church. It's the church's responsibility, and this is the worldwide church we're talking about, the body of Christ worldwide. And it's the church's responsibility to get the Great Commission completed It's not Ethnos 360 or Frontiers or Pioneers or Wycliffe. We all work alongside churches who send missionaries. Here's why we exist, because Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That Greek word is ethnos, interestingly enough. Teaching them, baptizing them, we can have confidence because he's with us. And why do we exist? Because there's this thing called the sad list. And I've read it before in paper form, I think, and showed it to you. But here's what the sad list contains. This is just page one, part of page one, of over 50 pages, and every single line is a language, a separate language that does not have the Bible in that language. In fact, most of them don't even have a written language. There's no alphabet. They don't need an alphabet. They just exist and live off the land, and they live in their own worldview, which is stories that their ancestors have told them. Part of page one of 50. That's quite a list. Some people will say, why don't we just leave these people alone? They're happy the way they are. And is that true? Is it true? I mean, they seem happy-go-lucky on the outside. But are they really happy? Let me show you this little clip.
Somebody who comes to us and says, leave them alone, they're better off the way they are. They're living, you know, they're in the jungle, this euphoria of some sort, you know, what they imagine. Anybody who says that has never, ever stepped foot in this type of a situation, in this type of a setting here.
You certainly can't base it on National Geographic pictures and right. Where people are laughing, and because it, you don't really know what they're thinking or what their lifestyle is really like until you're actually living among them.
If it was just a matter of health alone, It would have been worth it. But you start putting in the factor of their spiritual destiny and their worldview and the fear that they lived in, and you start adding all that factor into, there's just no comparison. I'm a white person, wouldn't even be able to probably even imagine somebody saying that to them. It would just blow their minds, I'm sure. There's no one here in the Moy that wishes that they would have been left alone. They are so thankful to be brought out of that darkness that they were living in, and to know God. Even our most immature believer at this point in the game, it lives without that fear of evil spirits, and it's just totally changed the way they look at the world around them.
Kena ibelesi wa domia animal able to marry you. Membro, in Gotham. Men, did I have men, Nemo were able to marry in Gotham?
I don't know if you caught the gist of that, but they were basically afraid of the spirits. Spirits would come and kill them and eat them. And what would they do to try to offset that fear? They would cut themselves. They do all kinds of different rituals in order to try to appease the spirits that they live in fear of. And the next time you hear that, well, why don't we leave them alone? They're happy the way they are. Are they really? The answer is no. We've never, ever worked with a group of people who are happy the way they are. Once they find out about Jesus, once they're introduced to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're set free from the fear of the spirits, why would you ever go back to that? That's what they say. Why would anyone ask that question? Stephen Crockett, that's what he said. He can't imagine the Moi, they're in Indonesia, ever asking a question. Somebody asking him, weren't you happy the way you were? And like, what? It doesn't even make sense in their mind. Why leave people in darkness? And again, we're not going there to destroy a culture. We're going there to redeem a people for Jesus, preserving a people group. And basically, we're not trying to change their culture. We're not introducing them to the Western style of doing church. No, we want them to do church and according to New Testament principles, within their own culture, within their own language. And it's often very different. It looks very different, but it's very beautiful. Shirley and I have had the opportunity to visit a number of tribes and watch their church and listen to some of their testimonies translated, of course, and it's very, very beautiful. So what's God doing these days? And again, we work in like 30 different countries. This is just Papua New Guinea. It's a very open country. We have hundreds. I think there's 700 missionaries working in Papua New Guinea, little island on the north side of Australia. It's actually a set of three islands. But I want to give you just a quick update on the Kaje, the Amdu, the Pei, and the Wantakia this morning. This is where the Kaje live. Australia, again, is directly to the south of this, and it's huge compared to this island. Kaje, the teaching began back in July of last year. This is John and Taylor and their families working with the Kaje. They started teaching in July of last year. In November, the church was born. They taught for a few months. Basically, the way we teach is we will take about 3 or 4 months, teaching 5 days a week for an hour or two, and we'll be just starting Genesis 1:1. And we'll introduce them to the idea of in the beginning, God. Oh, God was in the beginning? Well, where did he come from? Oh, no, he's always been. But in the beginning of creation, God created. And that you could spend, some of our guys spend 2 or 3 days on just the first verse of Genesis 1:1 and the implications of that. So they began teaching, the church was born. And here's, that's what it looked like when they were teaching. There were hundreds of Kaje that came to the Lord as a result of that. And they've been able to discern that by meeting with people one-on-one after the teaching concluded in November when they became believers. And since that time, they've been teaching through the book of Acts. And as a result, this is just what I heard from the John just last week, that as they've teaching through the book of Acts and teaching, and all of a sudden you have the idea of baptism and what it means, what it looks like. Now, over 30 Kaje have come to John and Taylor and said, we want to be baptized. We want to publicly proclaim that we're following Jesus. So that'll probably take place here in the next month or so. Then a little bit to the northwest of that, Amdu. The Benjamin Hatton in the middle, Yellow Hat, and Bart Allen on the left. This was a picture of their first literacy class graduation, because before we actually start teaching the Bible, we actually teach people how to read and write their language, in preparation for the day when they have the Bible in their language, or portions of it even. So the Amdu, this teaching started about 8 weeks ago here for the very first time, and Benjamin has been doing, the internet signal is pretty bad in their area. So he's been doing shortwave radio reports to a church in near Chicago. And so this is just a clip, a one-minute clip, of a recent radio report from Benjamin Hatton, one of the teachers, the missionaries, about where they're at in the teaching.
Yeah, so we were walking through the story of Cain and Abel.
But there's no video.
And then
we dove
into some of the more subtle details of the descendants of Cain leading up to the story of Noah. So that was kind of the three main narratives that we were walking through this week, over.
Okay, copy that. Yeah, that's awesome.
One cool thing to just, as we're watching, you know, obviously we feel very much like the Lord is giving us wisdom and giving us direction, but it's, you know, every now and again something unique happens, and on Sunday I was out at one of our little hamlets doing a review with one group, and, you know, told them that the Cain and Abel story was coming on Monday. And that triggered a question in one of the men's minds who's been coming very faithfully, and just the way that he framed the question was very clear, which usually a lot of times our friends don't really ask clear questions. They're sometimes embarrassed about what they're trying to ask, and they're not very direct. And so if you don't know where they're coming from, the question can be kind of unclear. But this particular time, it was a very clear question having to do with Cain and Abel and how the death happened. And basically, he was wanting to know whether it was just out-and-out murder, or was this the story that they were going to find out about the beginning of all kinds of, you know, things that we would call black magic or witchcraft or whatever, things that, you know, are those kinds of things. Just the story about those things starting.
So what he's saying there is he's going to be teaching a story of Cain and Abel, and it was a murder. And the Amdu man who had the question, see, they have murder in Amdu, but they also have witchcraft. And so oftentimes the reason someone dies in Amdu, and this is true in many, many of the people groups that we work in, the reason people die is not because of natural death or disease. It's because someone else has put a curse on them, cast a spell on them. And so in this Amdu's mind, it's like, well, did Cain put a spell on Abel and Abel died? Is this where that originated? Or is it just outright murder? That's kind of what they're, and they're glad for these kind of questions because it helps them to understand where, what the people are thinking. And so when you can understand clearly what someone is thinking and they ask a clear question, then you can answer the question clearly and get to the root of the question. And that's true in our culture as well. We do it every day without even knowing it when we ask questions. That's why oftentimes the best way to teach is to ask questions that cause people to think. Instead of just giving them an answer, you want them to think about what do they think the answer is. And then they articulate to you what they think the answer is, and then you can begin to understand, oh, they understand it. Or, no, I need to do a little more teaching than this. I hope that makes sense. That's primarily how our teams want to teach. They don't just want to get up and give information out and believe everybody understands it. That's why it takes 3 or 4 months to get from Genesis 1:1, teaching highlights of the Old Testament in a chronological fashion, to introduce them to Jesus about halfway through, teach about his life, his teachings, his miracles, his death, burial, resurrection, and present the gospel. That takes hours and hours and hours to go through this foundational teaching and in order to present the gospel in an understandable way. I just got an email from Bart Allen this morning about the Amdu, where their teaching is at, and on Monday, tomorrow, which is, it's Monday there already. Yeah, because they're like 14 hours ahead of us. They're teaching on Abraham and Isaac today. So It should be another opportunity for them to see what their understanding is about Isaac and submitting to Abraham's will, the father's will. And then pretty soon it's going to be, well, God will provide himself a ram for the sacrifice. Oh, and you know what that means, because we're on the other side of it. We understand it now, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. God, but man, is that a powerful story? And so they're going to be teaching on that this week in Amdu. And then a little bit in the middle of those two, Kaje and Amdu, is the pay people. And this is just a picture of some of the pay people that are here into teaching at this point now. This began about, the beginning of April. So this is about 8 weeks or so. And Justin, one of the missionaries, wrote that our tribal friends have been sitting for 8 to 12 hours a week hearing the Word of God explained to them in their language with skits and pictures and illustrations. Some of the things that we've seen, and when he says we, he's talking about, and the pay people have understood, the goodness of God in creation, his care and concern and love for mankind. We've seen how disobedience of God's true talk is a big problem in the spiritual realm. There are ramifications to disobedience in the physical world. What's the first thing that happened? They died, right? Sin brings death. And initially it was separation from their relationship with God, but eventually it was physical death. Talked about the first death and the second death. We have seen many people who followed Satan into the canoe that he carved as an imitation of the canoe that God carved, which is very much a relevant concept in their teaching. You're either in God's canoe or you're in Satan's canoe. Does that make sense? And guess where we all are? God's canoe. Yeah. So, and that's, again, an illustration of them understanding the culture well enough that they can present these ideas in a way that they, the people, understand. We've seen many stories of people and spirits rowing in Satan's canoe, unaware that they'll see the second death, which is eternal separation from God. And we've challenged our friends not to be caught unaware, he says. This is the team there. Upper right is Chris and Evie Jones and their daughter. Shirley and I had the privilege of introducing Evie to New Tribes back in the summer of 2004 when we took a team to Papua New Guinea. And then Justin and Lauren, he's on the lower right, Lauren's on the left, and then Candace is in the middle. We know all these guys from the Bible school up in Michigan. They were all students and graduated. And this is, by the way, how I get all my news. All the graduates that over the years, when they left, I'd say, put me on your email list. I want to keep up with you. We want to pray for you. And so I'm thrilled at the news I hear every day from all around the world. Reese, Jones, and Candace. And then this is the Bali team. It's a little island off the tip of Papua New Guinea. On the right, you have the Butlers. On the left, there's Garen and Hannah Dick and their kids. And these guys have just had a tough time. Faye Butler on the right ended up with a thyroid condition, and she's been home now for about a year and a half. Went through thyroid surgery. Now she's on levothyroxine, I think. And so they're testing her blood on a regular basis, and it looks like she's doing really well. And so they're going to be able to go back, Lord willing, here before too long. Dicks are home on their furlough, so Lord willing, before too long, these guys will be ended up going back to the Bali people in Papua New Guinea. And then here you go. Okay, so this is Wantakia. Everybody say that with me, okay? Wantakia. I want you to remember that word, Wantakia, because I'm thinking it's about now. These guys actually, as we're here now, tonight, they're going to be here in the beginning, God taught for the first time in the Wantakia language. This is a teaching that's going to begin Monday morning in Papua New Guinea. The guy on the left, his name is Jeremy Hambrice. Jeremy, I don't know if any baseball fans here, but Jeremy used to play for the New York Mets. He played for, I think, 3 or 4 years with the New York Mets and was in church and heard somebody challenge him with the fact that there were still unreached people groups out there. And Jeremy and his wife, their family, ended up quitting baseball, going into our training, getting prepared, went to New Guinea, met the Crabtrees on the right, and I'm trying to remember, I don't remember the team, the couple in the middle, but man, gave their lives up to go learn the Wantakia language, learn the Wantakia culture, how they think. They've been working there for, I think, 5 years now, and they're getting ready to begin to teach tomorrow. And so, as you think of the Wantakia, what's that? How do you say it again? Okay. If you can remember to pray for the Wantakia in the next few weeks, I mean, it'll go, could go 10, 12, 14 weeks of teaching. And I believe, Pastor David, you're on my email list, I think. I'll try to keep you guys informed. If you'd like to know more, if you'd like to keep up with it, I do an email update about once a month that kind of has this kind of news in it, and I'd be glad to update you. There's my card's out there, or you can give me your email before we leave, and I'll gladly put you on the email. So anyway, that's, man, can you imagine God's heart? Can angels like watching the Amdu, watching the Pei, watching now in Wantakia? Because what do they do if one sinner repents? What do the angels do? And I mean, you're talking scores of people getting ready to rejoice. In the last 24 months, we've moved into 6 new language groups in Africa. So the Lord's doing quite a bit. And yet, there's still like 50 pages of languages that are waiting. We can use people. We really don't need equipment. We don't need computer equipment. We don't need tractors. We don't need... We have plenty of equipment. What we need are people. Now leave us with this. He said to them, Jesus said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. Father, thank you for this time and these folks that are here this morning in person. It's so good to join with your church again and worship you. Thank you for what you're doing around the world, Lord. Not just through Ethnos 360, but all over the world, Lord. People are trusting Christ as their Savior every day. And in the unrest and uncertainty of the world today, we pray that there would be many more who, because people are faithful to share the gospel with them, will understand what Jesus did and trust Him as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.